This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Why? What is happening? Where is mankind going? Who is the answer?
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. It's a pleasure to come into your viewing presence and that you've made a choice to view the program. We know you have many options out there, and when you select to view the Armor of God telecast, we take it as a deep responsibility to provide you with insight into the Word of God. Today's program is about a subject that perhaps has crossed your mind. Maybe it's crossing your mind with more frequency. Are we living in the end of time, the last days? And there are many ways to view this issue, because since 1946, for instance, or 1945 actually, at the creation of the atomic bomb, it became possible to destroy all life off the face of the earth. And we have so much stockpiled weaponry of the atomic variety, of the nuclear variety, that we could destroy several worlds, multiple worlds like our own, because of that kind of firepower. There's a lot of concern geopolitically in the world today, and as you look at the map behind me, you perhaps can see over my right shoulder the North American continent all the way down into South America. I believe I'm obscuring Africa and the Middle East, but to my left, over my left shoulder, you see Europe, perhaps even parts of Russia and China and other parts in the Far East. Now, as we look at the world and begin to analyze it from a geopolitical perspective, as I record this program today, we realize that the Turks, the nation of Turkey, is threatening to cross into Iraq to deal with the Kurds, who are Turkish descendants who live in Iraq. There are some rebels down there that the Turks want to deal with, and America is involved in counseling and advising and so forth on that issue. And we also, of course, have in the Middle East, Iran, who want to become part of the nuclear family. And that's quite a growing family, you know. There was a time when only a couple of folk were in it, but now I've lost count. India is in it. Pakistan is in it. Now, along with China, of course, and Russia, obviously, and America and Britain and Israel, and who knows who might have a suitcase-size atomic bomb that they can transport across borders so easily. So from a geopolitical potential World War III possibility that was mentioned recently by the current president, George W. Bush, World War III. Now, we know, don't we, that we cannot go back to fighting trench warfare as we did in World War I. Certainly at the end of World War II, with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan, which brought that war to a successful conclusion, if we were to enter into a world war, the possibilities of such massive ignominious destruction is before us, just on the geopolitical front alone. In the economic arena, we could take a look at some things and the possibilities of the disruption of life on the earth as we know it. But I don't want to talk to you today about those arenas. We talk about it here on the Armor of God. You have access to our free material about those kinds of things. But today, I want to take a sociological perspective on where we are in the end of days. But first, let me tell you about the free material that we're offering in today's program. So vital to you to receive this free material. I underline free, no obligation. You will not be charged secretly. You won't be asked for anything. But we require that you make a phone call or hit us up on our website to receive this free material. And the literature today that we're offering is entitled Needed, A Rational Approach to Prophecy. A way by which you can begin to analyze prophecy in a different light, perhaps, and come to understand it as not as earth-shaking as you might have thought, because ultimately, if you are in the care of Almighty God, whatever happens, happens, and you will be taken care of. But in addition to that item, there is a sermon that I've entitled, Are We Living in the End Times? Are We Living in the End Times? A full-hour sermon presented before a live audience. Both of these items can be yours with a toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or visit our website at www.cgi.org. Now I'll return to the program. The end of days, the end of time, the last days. It's called a lot of things in highfalutin terms, you know, in the collegiate environment, in academia, they call it eschatology, a study of the last things, the end things. Eschatology is how that is pronounced. And, you know, that's a very fancy word, but I think in our world today, we are enamored with knowing how much more time do we have. How long can this earth go on? How long can, even in the environment, can things go on when we're having what some people call global warming? Some poo-poo it, some say yes, some say no. You say global warming, I say not, you know, whatever the case might be. But we know that that's something going on. As we tape this program, wildfires are going wild in the state of California as we tape this program. And as a result of that, there is calamity out there. But you say, well, I live in Missouri. You know, that doesn't bother me about what's going on in Missouri, but let a tornado come through Missouri like it recently did in the state of Michigan in a little obscure place that flattened so many houses unexpectedly. And so when things like that happen, we say, well, you know, maybe we're living in the end of time, because the more frequent they come, the more we're inclined to believe the possibility that God might be trying to tell us something. Well, just on the economic front, how are things going? The dollar versus, let's say, the euro, or the dollar versus the Canadian dollar, for instance. I remember so distinctly, it seems like just yesterday, when you could take an American dollar across the border into Canada and get $1.40 or $1.50 for it. The last time I was there, which was just recently, the dollar was less in value than the Canadian dollar. That hadn't been my experience since 1963, the very first time I believe I went to Canada. So economically, there are some questions in our minds, but on the social perspective, let's take a look at that. In the book of 2 Timothy, I want to go to this passage of a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a young man named Timothy, an evangelist. And by the way, this is the last recorded, as far as we know, device of the Apostle Paul. He's writing to a young man, and at the time that Paul is writing this letter to him, he himself, Paul, is a prisoner in Rome. There are those who suggest that he was even shackled to a guard. He had already gone up before Caesar once, and he was yet waiting a second term, but in the first term, he avoided going into the arena to fight the lions or to be a prey to the lions. That's what he writes in this letter. to this young man, but he writes some other startling things that help us consider the times in which we live. Now, when Paul wrote this to this young man, there was so much that had not even been invented or created. There were no airplanes in Paul's day, no multimedia, no computers, no telephones. You know, just go down the list of things that we are privy to today that enhance our lives or complicate our lives, as the case might be. But there is one thing that was common to Paul that's also common to us. It's called human nature. Look at what Paul says to this young man as he writes to them, him, in that first century time. It says, "This know," this is chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "this know, young Timothy, also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The last days. Well, what are the last days? What didn't Jesus get asked a question by the disciples about the last days? In Matthew 24, do not the apostles ask Jesus, "Look, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" That's what the King James has it, but it means the end of the age, whatever that age might be. What are the signs that we can look at? And Jesus rattled off several things that they should consider. One of them was about false prophets, you know, religious figures who turn out to be false prophets. Then he talked about wars and rumors of wars. He talked about pestilence and diseases and all kinds of things that would fit into a view of how things would be at the end. And we have reached a place, friends, that diseases that were once conquered have been revived, and they are now walking through the earth, if you will, as the gray horse of the book of Revelation of pestilence. Earthquakes, well, you know, a tsunami is an interesting thing, where an earthquake occurs out in the water and it causes such a tidal wave. Is that correct? A tidal wave, a huge wave to come. We know the history. We know the story. We've seen the results of those kinds of things happening. And earthquakes in many different places. But we've always had earthquakes, we say. Well, that's what Jesus said. All of those things would happen. They would be transpiring at the end of time, so to speak. Here's what Paul says. "For men," verse 2, "shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, you can take this one of two ways. You can take this as we have self-interest. Greed is good. That's what the man in the movie Wall Street said. Greed is good. So there are people who have only self-interest, or they are lovers of themselves. Or it can mean that homosexuality will be rampant in the end time. Is that so? Is that true? Are you seeing more of it? Or is it just that they're doing better reporting today? Even if they're doing simply better reporting, it is astounding how much self-love or love of self is going on in the world. But look, there's even more that Paul suggests will come along. People will be covetous. Oh, that's a fascinating term, covet, to covet, to desire someone else's stuff. Is that going on in the world? Can you explain why the southern borders of this country, the United States of America, are so porous with people who, by virtue of television, can see how the other half lives and set out in a mission in life to arrive in the promised land? That's the United States of America, because they actually believe that document that is written on the Statue of Liberty, penned by Emma Lazarus: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming show. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." But it seems like the door is slamming, because there are some people coveting what they do not have, and they figure out that America is the place to acquire it. They come legally, they come illegally. But Paul says there are boasters. There are going to be people who are boasters. Boasters? Why should that be so significant? Haven't people always been boastful? And of what are they boastful? Well, have you seen any videos lately, those little gangster rap videos, those ones that boast about, I've got the bling bling, you see, and I got the cheddar, that is, I got more money, just piled on top of money. I cash money, I throw money around because I got so much. I'm tight like that. I'm packed with money, boasting. I got the women, I got the cars, I got the car, I got the residence, I got all kinds of things. Television programs, they call them, what do they call those kinds of programs, real life experiences or what have you, where they have people pitted against each other to try to win thousands and sometimes millions of dollars on the basis of stuff that they have. But look, they're also proud, Paul says. Proud, they're proud. What do you mean proud? Some people are so proud that they will not ask for help when they know that they need it. Too proud, too significant. Won't ask. I'll take it, but I won't ask for it. Well, what other kind of characteristics do we find about Paul describing that the last days are going to have perilous times? Blasphemers. Well, that's a good one right there, blasphemers. To blaspheme means to accredit something of God to something of Satan or something of the devil or to give God no credit. I remember so distinctly the powerful presentation in the movie and the book by Alice Walker entitled The Color Purple. And Miss Seeley is walking through a valley of colorful purple flowers, and the character Suge says to Miss Seeley, you know what ticks God off, what upsets God, is that we can walk through a field of purple flowers and not see them. That means there are things in creation that we attribute to our prowess. There are things all around us, the buildings we build, the cars we drive, the cities we construct, and the money we acquire. We blaspheme God by thinking it's all on our power and all on our strength. And have we reached a place in our society where we've become much more blasphemous in our approach? Well, there's more. That's just scratching the surface. Disobedient to parents. Oh, my. Could I wax eloquent on that for a little while? Have you not observed how our children behave? Do you not see them in the streets when you go to the mall, when you go into public places, when you see school letting out in your communities? I know you might be saying, well, where we are, we're pretty on the safe side. There's not much going on. You mean like Columbine? You ever hear of Columbine before that happened out in Colorado? Scores of people were killed. Maybe I'm hyping it a little bit, but, you know, a lot of children were killed in that circumstance, and there are other schools that we can add to it, and that Quaker situation, or Amish situation, I believe it was, in Pennsylvania. And every day in the state of Michigan where I live, there's some story about some death. Just as I'm taping this program, four people were shot dead in their homes. Two of them were 7 and 9 years of age. Why is that happening? And it was done by a young person, not an old person, because there are people who are disobedient to parents. When parents tell children to stop, to listen, to be quiet, to study, there's a response that children have nowadays. I'm getting mine while the getting is good. We have everything in their houses, in our houses, in their rooms that they could ever acquire, from computers to internet to television to cell phones. How many people have you almost hit in the street as they're walking across the street talking on their cell phones, young children? Disobedient to parents? I mean, they curse, if you will, their parents out in public nowadays. Something unheard of. I'm 61 years old, but even when I was 40 and 50, I can't imagine I would ever say anything out of the way to my mother. And she was 5'5". I've been over 6 feet tall a long time, but it just would not cross my mind. But we see today in our society children who are rebellious, cantankerous, irreverent. But there's even more things going on, like people who are unthankful. Unthankful. Well, how can you be unthankful in a world? After all, you go to the job, right? you get paid, you have your own business, whatever, however you acquire the funds, even if you are doing something underhanded and devious, crooked, if you will. Are you even thankful for being born in a country whereby you can achieve success? Unthankful. Unthankful, unthankful, ungrateful, if you will. As I look around the world, and I look around the American society in which I live, I'm stunned by how a simple act of holding the door open for someone is met with stone silence, as if it's an expectation. It's not an appreciation for a kindness given to them. No, this is what I expect. A young man who was dating my youngest daughter told her that to say thank you and please is a sign of weakness. And I told her that individual is a zero in their thinking. Drop them right away. And she followed my advice. And I appreciate the fact that she listened. He's now doing life in prison. Unthankful. Unholy. Oh, that's one right there. Unholy. What do you mean unholy? Well, we have access to all kinds of entertainment venues. We get to watch television. A lot of those access Hollywood types of programs that show us unholy activity in the lives of people. We see it all around us. And we become so inured to it and so deadened by it and so paralyzed by it, we just take it for granted. Britney Spears, all of the names of the stars that we could name, and Kevin Federline, I guess, is her former husband and so forth, and all of the squabbles about that. Is that a holy life? Now, I know some people come to Christ and they come to conversion. They come to a place of transforming their lives, having been so far down. But for the most part, as we look around the world, we see a lot of unholy activity going on in this world. And Paul says, in the last days, and I'm suggesting to you as we analyze, and you can analyze even more through your own experiences, as we see these things, are we not at the place when the last days are upon us? He goes on to say that people will not only be unholy, but without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means without self-control. Fierce. I like that description. I see some people who are so hateful towards other human beings. You cannot say that a person was not fierce if they go into a home and kill everybody in the home when the object of their attention and their concern may have been just one person, but because the other people are there, we kill them all off. And we get so many news reports, my friends, on these kinds of things that it just deadens us, and we turn the TV off. I don't want to hear any more of this bad news. I don't want to know any more things about that, but I'm telling you by the authority of the Scriptures that when we see this kind of thing going on, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, it is a sign of the last days, the last times. He also says that they will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let's go to the show. Let's go to have some fun. Let's go to Cedar Point. That's close by here as we're taping this program. Let's go to Disney World. Let's have some fun. Let's go on a cruise. Let's get away from it all. Yet the world is not transformed. My friends, we are living in a very precarious time. It describes here, finally, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Have you not watched television and seen the stories and the presentations by mega churches and growing churches and people involved in all kinds of activities and outreaches, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? My friends, there is no doubt that we're living in a treacherous, terrible time. How then can you fortify yourself against the possibilities that we're living in an age when the trumpet is going to sound and Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth? He's coming back to receive his own. Will you be in that number? Will you be one who responds to the notion that, you know, I need to check myself before I wreck myself? I hope that you do. I hope you take this program to heart and call and write or contact us to receive this free material, because I want you to be in the number when the saints go marching in. I want you to be in Christ's army when he returns.
Bible prophecy profiles the end of days from many different directions. For instance, global conflict, characterized by tragedies and enormous destruction, in combination with horrific heartache, suffering, and death, are typically the usual descriptions recommended to identify the end times. But Bronson James illustrated on today's program that we can indeed discern additional identifying marks that come from the social and human behavioral side of society. The warnings are sharp, but if we're not careful, we may allow ourselves to become compromised, and we may in fact miss these clear and obvious signs. A society that practices abortion no longer esteems the sanctity of life, or one that is not fully convinced and persuaded that the sacred institution of marriage should be rightly defined and reserved for only those of the opposite sex, is simply going to be a confused culture, finding itself in conflict with the definition of marriage as defined by God in your Bible. We're told that women shall rule over you, and your children shall be your oppressors, and that the stranger among you will rise up very high above you, the indigenous, bringing you down very low. And those who lend will become the head over you, and you will become the tail. The signs are upon us. Won't you let us help you to understand these current social benchmarks? So call now, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and ask for both of these free offers: A Rational Approach to Bible Prophecy and the CD entitled Are We Living in the End Times? Friends, this is Wayne Hendricks reminding all of you, as we always do, keep on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.